Grace and peace to you, for you are washed, you are justified, and you are sanctified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. It's easy to get to wondering what's going to make the difference. How are we going to see some change? What is it going to take when we look for change? When we look at our government and we wonder, when are we going to see some change? Or we look at our church and wonder, when are we going to see some changes? Or we look at ourselves and we wonder, when are we going to see some changes in our lives? We look to the year ahead and we're looking for some real change and we're wondering what's going to make the difference. What will it take? The people were wondering something similar in the days of John the Baptist. They were wondering about John the Baptist, if he was the one who was really going to make a difference in their lives. They were under a government that was oppressive and taxing and not treating them very well. They were under a foreign government. Even their own church leaders were not treating them very well. There was a lot of hypocrisy in the leadership among the Jewish people and among their own different religious factions. And then they had their personal challenges where they saw the hypocrisy within themselves, within their own lives, things that never seemed to really change. Now, was John going to be the one to make the difference? He was a fiery preacher, someone that the people were attracted to. They were coming from all directions to see him, to hear him, to be baptized by him. And they were wondering, is he the Christ? Is he the one God has sent us to really make some real change in our society, in our religious life, in our personal life? As we begin to look into the power of baptism, I've printed out some questions for you if you want to follow along with that. On the back side of the hymn insert you have today are some questions for sermon notes about what the people were wondering and some of the distinctions here and what baptism is all about. John gave them an answer. In verses 16 and 17, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but there is coming someone mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he'll thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." There's a difference between John and Jesus, and he points out some differences here. We're going to take some time to really dig into what John is saying here because it's hard to understand at first. The difference between John and Jesus. Firstly, in their timing. John says, I baptize you with water, but Jesus, the Christ, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So there's something John is doing now and something the Christ is going to do in the future. There's a difference in timing from John's perspective. He sees himself as the one who's preparing the people for something greater. He really sees himself as a prophet, an Old Testament prophet. John is, in a way, the last of the Old Testament prophets before Christ will come and usher in a new time, a new era. And so he's looking ahead, just like all the Old Testament prophets did. They were always looking ahead, and when they looked ahead and God gave them a vision of how the Savior was going to come, it was in a sweeping panoramic view of what he would do. He would pour out the Holy Spirit, fulfill all that God had said, and bring in the final judgment. Really, what John is seeing is he's seeing Pentecost and the final judgment all in one picture, one view. After all, that's what Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2 when he said, "It shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh in the last days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." Joel there sees it as one picture. Really, Pentecost wrapped up with Judgment Day in one view. So John sees a distinction in timing, where he is preparing the people, but Jesus will bring fulfillment. And that's what it says in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus, having fulfilled all that he said he would do, he died, he was risen, and now he's ready to ascend into heaven. He says to his disciples, "John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So that baptism that the Christ will do is talking about Pentecost, baptism of the Holy Spirit that is poured out and brings in the last days, the days we're living in, the very last days before the final judgment. There's also a distinction in who John is and who Jesus is in their persons. John might have seemed like a mighty preacher, but he says there's someone mightier than I. I can't even untie his sandals. I'm not even worthy to touch his clothes. He will bring in something much greater, and what John is talking about is the final judgment. He pictures it like a farmer, like a farming event, a farmer who's separating the grain from the chaff. So if you ever have peeled the corn on the cob and you're going to have a nice dinner with corn on the cob, you peel the husk away and you get after the really good stuff. And you don't save the husk, you don't use it at all, you throw it away. And Jesus is saying in the final judgment, he's going to separate what is valuable from what is worthless. He's going to separate those who believe in him from those who don't believe in him. And John is saying this is the mighty work that he's going to do, the Holy Spirit and fire. So again, this is one picture for John, but for us, we see two pictures. We see the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, and fire, the final judgment. Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and fire is looking ahead to that final judgment with fire. And that's why when Jesus quotes this reference on Pentecost, he says, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, but he leaves off the fire part, because that's thinking ahead to the final judgment. And finally, there's a distinction in the power that they bring. Sometimes, when people read this, they say, okay, well, John the Baptist only baptized with water. His baptism was just symbolic. It was nothing more than water. There was really no real great work of grace in it. But that's not the distinction John is trying to make. He's making a distinction about where the power comes from. It's the same thing with your pastor. When I baptize someone, I'm just applying water. The real power is not in me or in John, but it's in Christ, in Jesus, who brings the Holy Spirit, who brings fulfillment, and who is actually in the water. You should think of Jesus as being in the water. And that's what brings about the great power of baptism. That's why John can say he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's powerful. The Greek there that's talking about John's baptism says that his baptism was with the result that sins were forgiven. Okay, so that is the power. It's more than just water. But John wants you to see that it's not him that's doing this. I baptize with water. It's Jesus that's bringing the fulfillment and the power that is in baptism. The power of baptism is that Jesus is in the water. That's our theme for today, and that's the real crux of the text. We've gotten through some of the difficult things, but there are also some distinctions, not just between John and Jesus, but between us and Jesus in the same way. Distinctions between who we are and who Jesus is. Baptism brings us the past and the future together into one event. Baptism is not about us. It's not even about the timing of it. It's very much a mystery when we think about babies being baptized versus adults being baptized versus instruction taking place before or after baptism. And yet there's a work of the Holy Spirit going on that's bringing the past and the future all into one event, a miracle of God's working. There's also a distinction between us and Jesus in our person. If we think that it's going to be our commitment, our dedication, our hard work that's going to keep the baptismal faith alive in us, we're fooling ourselves. But there comes one mightier than us, whose sandals we aren't worthy to touch, that comes. And he brings in the final judgment, even in baptism, so that we would know in baptism we're delivered, we are the wheat, we are being gathered into God's care. The power for change. When we look at our government and we wonder, who's the right leader to put into the Oval Office? Who's really going to make a difference? When we look at our church, what's the right method for ministry we should be doing? We're going to be talking about outreach efforts in Bible class. What should we be doing? What could we be doing differently? Who's the right pastor to have leading us? Or when we look at ourselves, what's going to make the difference in our lives to really see some change? The power is in baptism. It's not in the laws we could enact. It's not in the methods we could choose. And it's not in me. The power of baptism is that Jesus is in the water. He's in the water, firstly, in his flesh, at his own baptism, and then secondly, in the Spirit, in our baptisms. This is quite a wonder, that Jesus would go into the water, and he does it for us. Baptism marks that moment in Jesus' life where he takes over. Where he takes center stage, publicly taking our place as God's beloved son. The one in God, that God is well pleased with. Because in our lives, if we look at our own works, we see things that God is not so well pleased with. That's why Jesus has to go into the water, to take our place, to do it for us. One of the hymns I wanted to pick for today is hymn 760. And the worship supplement, I didn't pick it for today. But if you take out your worship supplement, you open up to hymn 760, take a look at this with me. It's in the section called Redeemer, hymn 760. But it's really an epiphany hymn. Look at verse 3. Hymn 760, verse 3. For us baptized, for us he bore, his holy fast and hunger sore. For us temptation sharp he knew, for us the tempter overthrew. For us by wickedness betrayed, for us in crown of thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death, for us he gave his dying breath. For us he rose from death again, for us he went on high to reign, for us he sent his Spirit here to guide, to strengthen, and to cheer. For us. It's a wonderful way of seeing how Jesus has done it all for us. But he doesn't just do it for us. He also does it with us. In baptism, you should see Jesus in the water. In the water with us. When you're baptized, Jesus is joined to you and you're joined to him. That's what it said in Romans chapter 6. You've been joined together with Christ. You've been buried into his death. You've been raised in his resurrection. And he's with you every step of the way. This is our eternal comfort. Not just that Jesus was baptized for us, and that he's also baptized with us. Which means that when you sin, Jesus is with you. When you suffer, Jesus is with you. When you look ahead to the future, uncertainty, choices, change, Jesus is with you. And when you face the final judgment, when God separates the wheat from the chaff and you wonder, which one am I going to be? Jesus is with you. We wonder what will make a difference, how we can bring about change in the world, in our churches, in our lives. And the way to see change is to look into the water, to touch the water in your mind, to feel it and to know it. Because Jesus has been there. He's been where you've been. He's been in the water. He's been in your difficult situations, your suffering. And he's there with you right now. And he will be there with you in the future. Because the power of baptism is that Jesus is in the water. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.